Well, you know, to see my daughter up here with pants cut open, you know, just ripped all over the place. And when she left my house, she had pants that were okay. And she's only been gone 2 or 3 months, and she's already, like, falling apart. Baby, you got to come home. You know, it's just not happening, you know? See my poor little girl. We're going to do a fundraiser. Could we have the ushers come up? We're going to fundraise for some pants, you know? Anybody seamstress? Anybody fix anything? This morning, I'm going to talk about, before I talk, I just want to say, Andrew, thank you for the opportunity to be able to share this morning. And it's such a blessing to be a part of the big body of Christ in the whole community. There's more to us than we think many times. And so we just need to be able to come together this way. And so I'd like to pray God's blessings on the scriptures and what we're going to talk about. So Father, we just thank you for the way you move in our lives. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Awesome. We love you and we thank you. We pray, God, that our hearts would be open to receive those things that you want to reveal to us and that you would draw us further and deeper still, Lord God, to the things that you have. And so, Father, it's about you. We're here because of you. And we ask that in all things that you would be honored and blessed as we speak of you, as we reflect on you, as we hear you and we follow you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't mind, I preach barefoot. Do you guys, is that okay? I feel a little tight when I'm in my shoes. This is holy ground. So in case you guys are wondering, you know, Moses, this is holy ground, so I'm good. We're okay. Thank you very much. I tried preaching like this one time at a church over town, and I just couldn't get past it. I was like, what's going on? And it's like, I stopped. I go, hey, do you mind if I take off my shoes? And I took off my shoes. I go, yeah, fine. I took off my shoes, and then at that point, okay, now. We're good now. The passage that we're going to look at this morning, in Genesis 1:26, and then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. And so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And so then what happened a little bit after that, as you know, the fall. And from that point, we have forgotten who we are in many ways. We start to think that we're who we are based on many variables. But what the fall has done is it has clouded our understanding of what this passage says. It says, God said, let us make human beings in our image. That's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome, powerful statement that he made. And so sometimes we miss that. We miss that we have been created in the image of God. And so have we forgotten who we are? And so we identify ourselves these ways: our past, what we did or what was done to us. So sometimes that's what we think of. And when I think of self, I would think like, well, this is what happened to me, so therefore I must be. Or this is what I've done, so therefore I must be. Our present, our careers, jobs, what we do. Joe the plumber. I've heard that many times in construction. You know, hey, my name's so-and-so, and I work in construction. I'm a construction worker. And so they identify themselves by what they do. Other people, sometimes we identify ourselves with our future. And what I mean by that is, I coach football, and some of our kids see themselves as NFL football players, right? I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to be a football player, you know? And so they look forward to that, and that's cool, too. Some of it is our culture. I'm an Islander, or I'm a local, or I'm a Californian, or I'm a Floridian, right? We have all these different definitions, and so an Islander has a certain dynamic that they experience, that they've known growing up here. I remember when I first moved here, they made it very clear to me that I was not an Islander, you know. I'm a local, you know. Actually, I was fresh off boat when I first got here. But then I became a local after a few years. And so my kids have, you know, they're Islanders. They were born here. But there was a definition of who we were and who we are. And sometimes it's our culture that forms us. It could be our gender, a male, female. Our race, white, black, Hispanic. It could be our roles, husband, wife, brother, sister, father, mother. Our character, I'm a good person. I'm a rebel, or I'm mean, I'm kind. And so we tend to look inside and kind of try to define who we are. Our sexuality could be straight, gay, bi, trans, it could be whatever. Sometimes we can identify that by that being who we think we are, that's our identity. Our features, I'm tall, I'm short, I'm skinny, I'm fat, I'm beautiful, I'm ugly. It's just so many things. And we put pressure on ourselves, trying to find who we are. Who are we? We're going to take a look at how peer pressure and family, friends, and traditions can affect us as much as comfort us. Fears can keep us from things. Self, our self-perception, lies. All those things fashion us and form us. And so I was going to show a clip, and it didn't. One of them wasn't. We weren't able to get it on. But you guys, who's seen the movie Moana? Okay, so for those of you that have not seen it, forgive me because I'm going to spoil some of it for you. But it's a cool little movie. Every once in a while, you see a movie that maybe it's designed for kids, but we as adults, we get something out of that. It impacts you. When my kids were small, we had Lion King. And, I was having a spiritual experience watching Lion King, Especially when Rafiki says, "You don't even know who you are." And he goes, "Do you?" And he goes, "Oh, yes. You're Mufasa's son. Or boy. You're Mufasa's boy. How do you know that?" And then so it's like there was this dynamic that was happening at that moment. It just clicked for me. I just recognized. It's like, I am the son. I am a son of God. I'm a child of God. You are children of God. That's awesome. And so sometimes we forget that. And so in this clip, I'm sorry it's not there, but this is Moana's father. And he says, "Make way, Moana, make way, make way. It's time you knew the village of Monotui is all you need. The island gives us what we need." The chief says this. And then she said, little Moana says, "And no one leaves." And he says, "That's right. We stay. We're safe and we're all provided. When we look to the future, there you are. You'll be okay. In time, you learn, just as I did, that you must find happiness right where you are." There was this reef outside the island that they were not to pass because horrible things happened. I'm sorry? No, that's... Thank you. But that was a good shot. That was really good. Thank you. No, that one, the other one was Dad doing his thing. It was really cool. So basically, she was restricted. And in that scene, she's walking, and she looks over, and she sees her grandma over by the waterfront, and her mom is doing that hula thing. I'm not a hula guy, so I can't really do those moves, but you know what I mean, right? Just kind of imagine, use your imagination, right? And so she goes over there to see her grandma. And her grandma says, I like to dance with the water, the undertow and the waves. The water is mischievous. Ha, I like how it misbehaves. The village may think I'm crazy or say that I drift too far. But once you know what you like, well, there you are." When you find... there you are. And sometimes you have to go seek who you are. Sometimes you have to leave the reef and the protection and the comfort to find you. And she was struggling because her dad said, "You're going to be the princess. You're going to rule one day. And we're going to stay on this island. This island has everything for you." And yet she sees her grandma over there doing her thing and saying, "Who you are, you will find you. And when you find that..." She says, goes on, she says, "You are your father's daughter, stubbornness and pride. Mind what he says, but remember," and this is the key, "you may hear a voice inside. And if the voice starts to whisper to follow the farthest star, Moana, that voice inside is who you are. And so she was talking to her daughter, granddaughter, and saying, you may hear a voice inside. You may have something inside that's stirring in you. Or maybe it's stirring you for a long time. And you've wondered, what do I do with that? Where do I go? And so I remember growing up as a kid, I always I would read the newspaper, and I loved to read about South America, Brazil, and all these different countries. And I always imagined that one day I would leave and go there and just whatever. This was before I became a Christian. And then once I became a Christian, I wanted to go now as a Christian to be able to share the gospel. And I went to Bible school. And I met this crazy little Italian about this big. And she said, we asked each other, hey, what do you want to do after you're done with Bible school? And she says, I would love to go to South America. And I was like, what? South America. I was like, awesome. So immediately I thought, whoa, there's something going on here, man. You know, maybe. And then the fact that she liked Isley Brothers music, I was like, oh, this is the girl for me, Isley Brothers. It's my day. Isley Brothers was cool. And so all of a sudden, her and I were starting to look at each other and saying, there's something happening here. Because there was a voice that was stirring up in me, even before I became a believer, and now it was even stronger. And then all of a sudden, I find this crazy Italian from Buffalo, New York, is going to this Bible school, and she has the same heart. And so we started to recognize, there's something going on here. And so then a year later, we get married. And then for the first 5 years, we would go to short-term outreaches, Philippines, Dominican Republic, Mexico. We'd go to different places. And it was just so awesome, you know. And then we decided, you know, but man, we'd love to have a family. And so then we had Janaea. And so then even Janaea, when she was small, we'd still go. And we'd take Janaea with us, and we'd bring a nanny. And then we had Rico. And then it's like, we'd still go. And we'd bring the nanny and say, we're going to pay you a little more, but you're going to watch two kids. And then once we had Raya, it was over, you know. Three is hard, you know, for parents. And I thought, I'm not going to subject the poor nanny to three kids, right, while we're doing our thing. And so we said, we'll wait until the kids are grown. And so about 2 years ago, my youngest son, was getting ready to go to college, thinking about college. And at that point, I thought, wow. And it started coming back, the stirring of the voice inside that says, what is your passion? What is your heart? Now, I love Catalina, and I love, you know, being a part of this, but there's a part of me that says there's more. There's something else, someplace else. You know, it is my passion to bring Jesus where Jesus is not. And that's my heart, and that's my wife's heart. And so we've been praying about all these things. And she's now going to school to become a nurse practitioner. Maybe one day she might be, you know, we may work together as a medical team down in South America, Africa, wherever. We're making contact with people. You see, there's a voice that stirs your heart. There's a place in you that says, who am I and where do I find that? And when you start to recognize your gift set and who God has created you to be, because remember, you've been created in His image. Recognize that. Things change. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had talked to this young man, Timothy. Timothy was an incredibly gifted teacher, supposedly, because of the way Paul spoke to him. And in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. He was saying, Timothy, don't neglect the gift. Do not forget who you are. Do not neglect and do not forget who God created you to be. Sometimes our past, sometimes our present struggles may keep us, sometimes our fears, whatever it is, may keep us from the fullness of who we are. And I want to encourage you to go deeper still, like we sang just earlier. Go deeper still. Hear from God. Because I know that He's moving every single one. If God has called you to make this island, flip this place upside down, where people come from all over the world to come see what God is doing on this island, amen. If God has called you to go someplace and go do that someplace else, amen. But wherever that is, that's your calling. And see, Moana was struggling with this thing. She was like, do I become the princess and eventually lead this group, or do I go because my heart is calling me out there? And she kept talking about where the sky meets the sea, the horizon. And she knew she could not stay. She needed to go to the horizon. So she leaves. She gets on this boat, and she's out there, and she breaks through the reef. And she's now way out there in the middle of nowhere, and then she starts going through some struggles. And that's what happens when you are pursuing you, pursuing who you are, who God has created you to be. It's not going to be handed to you. There are times you have to fight through to get to that place. And so if we can show that clip.
Why do you hesitate?
I don't know.
I know a girl from an island. She stands apart from the crowd. She loves the sea and her people. She makes her whole family proud. Sometimes the world seems against you. The journey may leave a scar, but scars can heal and reveal just where you are. The people you love will change you. The things you have learned will guide you. And nothing on earth can silence the quiet voice still inside you. And when that voice starts to whisper, Moana, you've come so far. Moana, listen. Do you know who you are?
Who am I? I am a girl who loves my island, and the girl who loves the sea. It calls me. I am the daughter of the village chief. We are descended from voyagers who found their way across the world. They call me. I've delivered us to where we are. I have journeyed farther. I am everything I've learned and more. Still it calls.
Cool scene. Grandma says, I know a girl from an island. She stands apart from the crowd. Each one of you stands apart from the crowd. Each one of you is uniquely gifted by God. Each one of you has a unique fingerprint. Each one of you has a unique, even your retina is different. Everything is different about you. Every single one of you have had different experiences. You've grown up in a different culture. You've grown up in different places. You are different by the way you look. You are different by the way you think. You are different. You're supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be that way. And this, in this clip here, she needed to find out who she was. And at the end, she starts to recognize, we are descended from voyagers. She recognized that there was this adventurous part of her that needed to find herself out there. So she started to recognize that there was this calling that she had, that the sea was calling her to this place. And then as you see, she goes down into the depths of the water and she comes up with this rock. This rock will be a part of what I'm going to share at the end. But the recognition was that she knew she was called. And so my question, do you know that you're called? You see, you may have a job, you may have a family, all those things. Those are all part of your calling. Those are all part of who you are. Those are roles and things that we do. But we need to know why. It's just not what we do. It's we need to know why we do what we do. There was a young man that was in England. He was swimming in a lake, and this man, older man, was out, and he was thrashing about in the water, and it looked like he was going to drown. And then after a while, the man wasn't thrashing. And so he thought, I don't know what's wrong with him, but I'm going to go out there. He goes out there, and he pulls him from the shore, from the waters to the shore, and the old man is saying, leave me alone, leave me alone. He's fighting him the whole way. And he brings him to the shoreline, and he says, why did you save me? And he said, because you were drowning. And he said, no, I wasn't. And he recognized who this man was, and he was a very powerful man of his community. And he says, what do you mean you weren't drowning? And he said, I don't know, I don't want to live any longer. And it just shook this young man. He says, why? And the young and the older man said, because I don't know why. He says, I'm powerful, I have all these things, my kids are great, nothing's going to happen to them, my family's great, but I don't know why. Why am I here? And it so shook this young man that he decided, I am going to find out who I am and why. And this young man, his name is Winston Churchill. It took that experience as a young man to recognize that something had to change for him, because he did not want to find himself in that position at an old age of wondering, who am I and why am I? There's a passage in Hebrews. We have around us many people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on the cross, but he accepted the shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. He had the why. And now he is sitting at the right hand of God's throne. Think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. So do not get tired and stop trying. You've got to know the why. When you get the why, it doesn't matter what comes against you. You will press in. You will continue because that's just who you are. You will go until you grab and find that person. And so, in this clip, she says, it's still, it calls me. And then at the end she says, I know the way, I am Moana. In 1 John, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. You see, you're not just created in the image of God, you are a child of God. You're a child of God, of someone before you were born, God had plans for you. He had plans for you. He knew when he was knitting you in your mother's womb, he was thinking of you. He was planning for you. This child is going to be like this. And I'm going to give this child these gifts and abilities. And they're going to do these things. In Romans 8:27, it says, he knows us far better than we know ourselves. Knows our pregnant condition. That was, in this version, it was talking about birthing things. And keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who would love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made the decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. You see, God began that work in your mother's womb. He continues to do that work today. continue until your last breath here on this planet. And then when you see Him face to face, you will be complete at that point. You will see Him as He is. So as a child of God, what do? Here's an answer. In 1 John 5:4, it says, "For every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." And so God calls all of us to go out and to proclaim the faith that we have, to go out and be you. Be the best you that you are. And make a difference. When you are walking with God, when you are walking filled with God, you walk into a room, a dynamic happens. You've just brought something into that room. You've brought the Spirit of God within you, that dwells within you, into that room. Something happens. Something always happens. And so, we need to understand what that is. We're to reveal the truth to those that are around us. They too were created in the image of God. But it's knowing Jesus' death and resurrection that transforms them into a child of God. Romans 8:19 says, "All creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are." See, even creation itself is waiting for us to get it. I think that's a pretty cool statement. I'm going to close with one more clip. This is when she now understands her destiny, and then she has to confront something that had frightened her people and everyone else for years.
Let her come to me.
Cool scene, huh? She says at the end, "You know who you are, who you truly are." Even though it was a frightening thing that was coming after her, she could see beyond that because she knew that behind that, that this thing had lost its heart, and that's what the stone was. And so she restores it, puts it back where it needed to be, and then this, you see the transformation. And from there, other things start to happen. I won't spoil the rest of the movie, but... But what this does, that gave me such a great picture of God's hand and what God has done for us. Colossians 3:10 and 11 says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn how your Creator, learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Remember, you were created in His image. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, free, all that matters, and He lives in all of us. All those other things don't matter. Right now, we have this horrible situation going on where people don't even know who they are. They think they are who they are, and they're defining themselves by certain groups, but that is not who they are. God has not created them to be like that. Right here in Scripture, it says that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. None of those things matter. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. That is what makes us one. And so as you go out to make a difference in this community, whether it's your family, your friends, your workplace, wherever, I want to encourage you to not just look at another person based on what they look like and what they do, who they, what they've done, what they hope to be, but you see them as God created them, in the image of God. And our hope and desire is that we would one day become children of God. And so we share Christ with them, so they understand what being a child of God is. And so as we go out, I just want to encourage each one of you, listen to the voice that God has brought within you. Step out and let this thing have its way. Let God have His way. He's calling you, and He continues to call you. And who knows, He may send you to some faraway land, or He may send you, have you stay here and make this island what He has always wanted it to be. It's a beautiful place to live in. It's a place of recreation, but I believe God wants to make it a place of recreation. He wants to change. So let's be about His business. Let's go after it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for Your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you, God, for stirring us continuously throughout our lives and showing us that other thing, God, that may lead us to that place where we find ourselves. We find that You have created us that way, for that time, for that opportunity. And then in the meantime, as You are revealing things about us even now, things that make us who we are, I pray that You would continue to reveal more things, that we would draw deeper still. We'd spend that time with You, God, speaking to You and allowing You to reveal to us the things that You want to show us. Thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.